So Joseph had this outgrowth of athlete's foot. And so we said, what are we going to do? And she said, well, when we worked with Joseph, what we found is that he got so much better. And then he stopped taking his supplements. And what we found is that he just about got arrested. And so was put in jail because his behavior was so outrageous. And so she said, the whole list of supplements that you gave to the mother, I'm going to California to talk to a bunch of moms, can I take that? And I said, well, then I'll end up in jail because it looked like I'm prescribing all day. So when I see a parent, we go through all the different these studies like we are now, and we go through all the different resources. And so then they can make their own decision versus just running off a slip. And so we do that in here. We have a week-by-week program in this biology behavior CD set, and we have all the resources so that parents will be able to know. So she came to Denver, and we rented a studio and made that. And that isn't, of course, everything that a child on the autistic spectrum would need, but it's a wonderful beginning. Rather than beginning with elimination of dairy and foods, I would begin with elimination of the fungus, or at least getting that in balance. Because what if we don't have to go further down the road? Wouldn't that be nice? We only go as far as we have to get the behaviors changed that we're looking for and to get them comfortable. So anyway, Joseph then went back on. He would need to be on an antifungal program for at least 3 months. He went back on the antifungal program where they had their good behavior again. So if it can change something as big as a reactive attachment disorder child, whom, you know, many of them had to be, bless their hearts, locked in their room at night because they're dangerous to the families. I went to speak to a group she has a whole therapy group where she's a training therapist, and they come every weekend to Grand Junction area, and she works with them. And so I took one of the weekends and we talked about the nutritional place. When we have children who have reactive attachment disorder, we often think that we're getting the behaviors because this child was unbonded, and that's certainly a part of it for sure. But I always say being unbonded is a trauma. It's a trauma the same as being in a car accident would be a trauma, or losing a spouse, or being very, very sick. Those are all traumas. What do we know traumas do? Traumas leach out serotonin. It just empties it out. So maybe, again, instead of treating only, not that we leave it out, but only the psychological part of attachment disorder, what if we treat the chemical fallout? And that's what we were doing with Joseph. So athlete's foot, again, is not something light. Because again, what do? We treat the exit point, not where it's coming from. And not even thinking that that could have anything to do with behavior. If they have rashes, especially, I have many kids who've had ringworm. And many times the parent will say, the doctor thinks it's an eczema. But it's a roundish patch on their face. Roundish patch on their arm. You can see if they've had it, because it looks like they've had a vaccination. Because when it dries, when it heals, it'll take some of the melanin of the skin, it'll take some of the color out, so it leaves a faded part. If they've had ringworm, their body is saying, I'm filled with yeast up to here, I'd like to exit out the skin. So that tells me that that could likely be a very big part of why this child is so uncomfortable in their own skin. So we're just learning how to see the physical clues that tells us. Because why? You're saying, can we test for yeast overgrowth? Not very reliably. Remember we talked about the stool test, the blood test, the urine test? Not very reliably. But if we see the situation that they have the symptoms, and we do a trial antifungal therapy, remember first, do no harm, other than to your pocketbook, because you have to buy some of this. So ringworm tells you something, and many times it is a ringworm. It is not an eczema the kids have. And eczema comes in those typical spots, you know, in the arm where it oozes and all of that. No, they'll have it on the outside dry, and then it gets red and it itches. Eczema, many children clear up, their eczema clears up with antifungal. In fact, I used to always think eczema was only a dairy allergy because we can clear it up with taking dairy away. Until after this biology behavior CD set now has been circulating in the United States for about 5 years. So I get lots of feedback. They say, oh, my child's eczema cleared up and their warts fell off. So then what does that tell us about most warts? They're likely fungus in nature, aren't they? Or could it be that the grapefruit seed extract that we use as an antifungal is also antiviral? If warts are really a virus, maybe that did it. But that now is such a common statement, now I expect it. If a child's warts don't fall off, then I wonder, you know, what? I didn't know that at first. The same with eczema. They say, oh, my child's eczema cleared up. So how could that be? We haven't taken away any of the offending allergens. And it's, so fungus is just a huge part of that. So apparently when we take that off the dermis immune system, then it doesn't respond with an allergic reaction. However, there are other kids that we have to go the next step and do dairy-free to clear up their eczema. Cradle cap, that is, you know, we just think it's that crusty little thing that they have on their scalp that's really a fungus. And that tells us, in fact, we've had dyslexic kids, that their dyslexia doesn't finally truly clear up until we can get rid of what really wants to continue to come back, which is a scalp problem. And in fact, Pam, one of the gals who works for me, her daughter had such a dyslexia, and she said, we were doing so well, and then all of a sudden she said, Mom, the words are moving all over the place again, and they're jumping. And then she said, what is it? And I said, look at her scalp. She did, yep, it had come back. And so then we found we had to really get at it internally. And so it can create a lot of issues. We know that all of this creates histamine. Histamine wants to separate the left and right hemisphere and keep it from working well together, which is then why we have the preponderance of reversals. Diaper rash. We say, oh, well, that's very innocuous, just a diaper rash. But we know the difference between a diaper rash from being in a wet diaper too long and a diaper rash that's angry and sore and raw. That's a yeast fungus diaper rash. So if the parents said that child ever needed nystatin, I assume that a lot of the behaviors and learning issues I'm seeing have their etiology in the fungus overgrowth. And the last one, lactose intolerant. All adults and kids who are lactose intolerant have that a lowered amount of good bacteria in their gut and too high a yeast and fungus. And so if you are one of those who struggles with that, that might be something that you yourself could take care of. We've talked a lot about the behavioral characteristics. We're just going to go through some of these. We know that mood swings is just a huge part of it. So many times the parents say, well, the doctor said they're 8 years old, but it's early puberty because their moods are so. And I say, well, maybe, but let's just see something else. We do the antifungal program, and they say, oh, yeah, that's like Yolanda's mother. I can't believe she likes me again. She was doing all that she said, now she likes me. So I don't believe in the early puberty mood swings. I think there's another thing going on. Spaciness, kids often not only say they're spacey, they act spacey. Who acts the spaciest? Our kids on the autism Asperger's level, don't they? Because we can just have ADD, ADHD, just looking blonde hormones, you know? We just wonder about all of those things. We all do a lot better on this. So, anger, irritation, aggression. I had one mom who came from, I was speaking in Chicago, and she came from Minnesota to drive over to see me to thank me for some of these things. I just had talked to her on the phone. And she just came over, she said the difference, her little three-year-old, she was going on to get her PhD, just finishing up, and she couldn't leave him with anybody, with, you know, her neighbor, with her sister, with a daycare provider, because he would bite and hit everybody. And it was fungus overgrowth. She said, when he took care of that, I had my sweet little boy back again. So, inconsistent performance. Many times parents will say, they just really have a learning disability. I need to have them tested and find out what it is. And they say, oh, testing's always good. They say, tell me about it. And they say, well, you know, one day they can read great. And the next day they look at a word and don't even remember it. And they said, well, if that was a learning disability, we don't get over it in one day, do we? It doesn't go away one day and come back the next. That has to be the focusing area, how that child's histamine is high. What causes high histamine? Fungus overgrowth, because we're allergic to the fungus. That creates all sorts of allergy conditions. inattention. We just, if we would look at that first, in fact, we have many schools that are, have the book, Dr. William Crook has a book, How to Help Your Hyperactive Child. Others have Super Immunity for Kids by Leo Gallen. And at a staffing, when the parents are reluctant to try medication, but they want to try something else first, we can give them some information. Say, you know what, just check this book out and see. Check with your doctor, see if it's all right. Because if it works, well, then you have an answer. If not, maybe you can take less medication. It's not an uncommon scenario at all. The memory problems, know it one day, the next time they don't. We think we need to drill more. Maybe you do. Or maybe it's something else. It's that spaciness. I don't know how many of you have had back-to-back antibiotics for something. If on your second round, you just, you know, keep forgetting things. What am I doing in this room? Or what did I do here? Because it happens to all of us, and the children just respond more. Inappropriate behavior, talking loudly. The number one thing that I heard from parents is, they're not all talking so loud anymore. They found their indoor voice. They found the indoor voice is in the gut. So you clear up the gut, you find that indoor voice. It's like they have a roar in their head, it seems to me, and that is so loud that they have to talk past it. And when this set, because, you know, histamine does that. Haven't you ever had a head cold with lots of histamine in here, that roar? I think they have that going on a lot. Why do some children's speech get better with this? Because I think they're like hearing underwater. A lot of speech has changed with getting children off dairy, because all that mucus in there is giving them distorted sounds. They're like hearing like they're underwater, and then they can't replicate what they hear well. And what do we see in behavior issues that seem to respond to antifungal treatment, which is a depression, which for kids looks like more negatives than positives. I don't have any friends, or nobody really likes me, or that wasn't really enough, or that's not fair. I mean, they all say that once in a while, but if you hear that a lot, that would be a child who's telling you that he has a little bit of problem in the area of depression. Now we're going to go on and look at how this is going to affect, how it affects autism in particular. Let's just take a break now. Okay, it's about 6:30. I 6:25. So besides the behavioral characteristics of fungus overgrowth, we see that it not only affects kids who have just ADD or ADHD or just are unhappy or ornery or cranky, just mild problems, we see it has a big effect on these kids' nervous system when they have autism or Asperger's. And this is a magazine cover taken from the Discover magazine, science technology magazine, and they're Understanding Autism. This is one of the things you see. It says, Understanding Autism, the answer may lie in the gut, not in the head. And that's exactly the number one thing that we are seeing that all of these kids have. Then after that, we can try this and try that. But this is the gateway, I think, to seeing the biggest changes and causing all other changes to occur more easily, even the allergens. Now, Dr. Bernard Rimland, as we know, was the director of the Autism Institute in San Diego. He's the one that started the whole DAN doctors, the Defeat Autism Now doctors. He's the one that began working with parents to have catalog what they were finding was working for their children to help them with their behaviors. And many of the behaviors were very bizarre, and they were just running the lives of these families. And you've read about it and heard about it, and it's very real, all the way to mild things. And so he made basically a study where he had parents write in what are the things that helped their children, what are the things that didn't help, what are the things that actually made their children worse. And we won't go through all of this, but I want you to be aware of the ratios they're talking about. These are the things, like let's say Lospar, which is an antidepressant, they help to hurt ratio basically 1 to 3 to 1. Help didn't, let's see, starts with worse, made worse, didn't help, all of that. So anyway, what they got all the way up to here was what helped better than anything else, 1 to 1 ratio, 2 to 1 ratio, where you get that 12 to 1 ratio. Do you see what the 12 to 1 ratio of help to hurt is? It's nystatin. Arkinaconazole. You know what that is? Mm-hmm. It's an antifungal medicine. When a baby in the nursery has a diaper rash, they put nystatin cream on there. When a baby has thrush, they give them the liquid suspension of nystatin. Nystatin is an antifungal. What can we suppose then from that? That so many of the behavioral changes that these parents receive were as a result of a fungus overgrowth that had been undetected. They had done all the tests. But remember, the tests are weak. They aren't real clear.
Just clarification, are you using fungus and yeast interchangeably?
Fungus, yeast, and mold, pretty much interchangeably, yes. I'm sure somebody, some scientist, would take issue with that. I'm sure there are various. Candida would be another one. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So far. But at any rate, all we know is that the treatments seem to help all of those, so if there's a big difference, it's not noticeable in behavior. So this was just a really big breakthrough when we discovered that fungus is, and remember they said is autism is the answer in the gut. They found many years ago the antifungal therapy which emanates from the gut makes changes. So as you begin to see, what you do, you need to do is connect the dots. All the researchers have these wonderful pieces of information that are invaluable, but they don't talk to each other. So our job is to synthesize this information and connect the dots so that we can see changes without breaking the bank or doing things that are very hard for the families to do. So nystatin is just the big player there. This is one of the other things, and you probably can't see this very well, so I will read it to you. This was penmanship of a little guy. He was homeschooled. He was copying some scripture verses, penmanship, before the antifungal therapy and after the antifungal therapy, just to show you how widespread this fungus is. Penmanship samples by a boy with autism showed improved coordination after he received antifungal medication. Here again, the article says, autism is not just in the head. They found there's a chronic inflammation across the brain, the immune system, and the digestive system, and inflammation is treatable. What are the causes of inflammation? Remember the four? Virus, bacteria, parasites, or fungus. Something's causing the inflammation. And we would say, yes, allergies, but all of those would cause histamine to be released. In fact, allergies would come along with that. So autism is not just in the head, as they're saying, where you can't just treat it educationally, psychologically, or emotionally. We need to look at the etiology of it. So this is, he said, when autistic children, this is so interesting to see, when autistic children go in for certain tests and they're told not to eat or drink anything, the symptoms improve until they start the procedure. Do you see how they began to look at, are these children reacting to what they're eating? By the allergy reaction, or not being able to digest it, so it's going through the system and into their bloodstream. Because when, you know, they would go in for procedures, usually gastro tests, and what would they say? You need to fast so that they can do the tests and scope them. And they would fast, and they'd notice during that fasting time, their behavior got so much better. All they drank was water. They just cleansed all those things out. Then after the test, they would bring them in their food. Let's give you a little pudding after that. And then all behaviors would start again. Was that not a good clue that somebody put together? So, of course, we can't just keep them fasting. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But they'd be little skeletons. But what we found is that makes such a difference in their behavior. It said the white matter is larger in children with autism. Could the white matter be chronically inflamed? What do we mean by white matter? If you look at the brain in color, you'll see the corpus callosum, that bundle of nerves that connects the left and right hemisphere. Remember, these kids are real left brain bound, data-oriented, data-driven versus into the social side. In order to cross over, we need to have that corpus callosum be coated with fat. white matter. And they found that was inflamed. Where else do we get white matter? All the coding over the nervous system. The axons are coated. Axons and dendrites, as you know, talk to each other in the nervous system. They're coated with what? Myelin. Myelin is fat. White matter. The white matter is inflamed. What are the inflammatory agents, and what can we do to help that? And remember, Johns Hopkins also said that the number one thing they found in common between all children with autism and Asperger's when they did their MRIs and studies were it was inflammation. Inflammation of the brain, inflammation of the gut, inflammation of the nervous system. So let's look at children who have the SI, because SI is always part of the ESD spectrum. You can have SI independent from having these other symptoms of autism, Asperger's. But kids with autism, Asperger's always have a lot of SI symptoms. So what if we think of maybe autism, Asperger's as just large SI symptoms and work on just those symptoms? Again, let's treat the illness. Maybe if we treat the illness, we'll get a lot of the behaviors changed. And just thinking about how to change a paradigm for us. Sensory integration problems are sensory processing disorder. They call it, I belong on three different boards, some of them, like the Canada board calls themselves the SP group, or the California one is SI, another one calls themselves ND. It's all basically talking about the same. Dr. Lyndon Smith, you know, this used to be called the baby doctor many years ago. His good old way to put it, he said, those are our goosey touchy kids. Everything bothers them. So a child's nervous system is malfunctioning. It's shouting red alert over minute stimuli, causing abnormal behaviors in everyday situations. A tag is in there. And you know how we don't like a scratchy tag? But if we can take it out, what do? After a while, okay, all right, you just ignore it and go on. It can go into the background because our nervous system can filter that out. For these guys, there's no way. There's no filter possible. It's red alert, red alert. It's going to kill you, going to kill you. One little guy said, asked him why he couldn't eat hamburger. Remember, they often don't eat meat. So they're not getting the arachidonic acid, B12, or iron that their nervous system absolutely requires and gets it from that. And so I said, tell me about hamburger. What happens? He said, well, I put it in my mouth. It feels like I have fur in my mouth. And so it's a real sensation. So another boy, couldn't eat something else, and I don't remember what it was. And I asked him, I said, what happens when you try to eat that? He said, it's like little pieces of glass are crunching in my mouth. So it's not like they're picky eaters. Like, oh, they just are, you know, if you would let them sit with it long enough in front of the plate, they'll eat it. A typical child, that's true. It's just a matter of will. For these guys, abnormal, atypical reactions. They can't. Would you eat glass no matter how long you had to sit in front of that plate? No. Or fur? We wouldn't. We just need to realize what's going on in their skin. The nerves in the brain have become inflamed, and then pressure develops. By the way, this is also written by a mother who had severe migraine headaches. Had gone everywhere and done everything and was getting some kind of relief, but always had the potential to have a huge migraine headache. And she did this with her autistic son. All of these types of things that we're going to talk about with the elimination diet, she did the antifungal, all of that. She said for the first time she could be unmedicated and not have migraine headaches. Because she said migraine headaches are very much like having strong sensory integration problems. Because auras bother you, certain tastes bother you, things smell funny, your whole sensory system is giving you wrong information. So found the same cure for her migraines as in here. Do you know that migraines have at times been referred to as precursors to seizures? Seizures are electrical storms. Electrical storms, and remember the nervous system, the axons and dendrites are supposed to take care of that good electrical flow, but they have to be coated. The wires behind this wall are coated with a rubberized coating, we're hoping, so that they don't give the wrong signals by touching each other. The coating has to be the same around the nervous system, so they give proper signals, so that they're not just saying red alert for everything. What are some of the, this is my version of an SI checklist, a quick one-page version that I can give to parents. Because if I give anything too long, I'm not going to get it back. So I kind of boiled it down to the things that I have seen change with the proper nutritional intervention. In fact, when parents fill out the SI checklist, and I say, now don't put it down, don't check it if they just kind of like don't like noise. We all have preferences, don't we? Or the, we all have weird little quirky things. This is hands over the ears, have to take them out, you know, the kinds that are interfering with their life. And then I keep that. And then when they, I talk to them later and call, because we always have free follow-ups, okay, what's better? I don't initiate it, the parent does. And we look to see. We're hoping to get rid of the majority of, the, of these, at least 80% of these symptoms. So if a child's sensitive to loud noise, again, that doesn't mean that they don't like their sister cracking her gum. That means that they can't go in a gym or a, or into church and the noise without covering their ears and making themselves look very obvious. But they're doing it because it's the only way they can cope. They dislike being in a group because either it's too noisy for them and they do like your guys do in the cafeteria and they have to come away. That would be, we check that for them. Or they just don't know how to interact with the group. Yeah, they get too stimulated. Some kids just get too stimulated in a group. Their language was delayed. Those are the things that we check and see. Symptoms of auditory processing in the auditory area, SI symptoms of the auditory area. In the taste area, often food textures bother them. For these guys, a nightmare for them to eat would be tapioca pudding. Because it's exactly mixed textures, smooth and bumpy. To sort out in their mouth, they have to sort it out, you know. To sort out the smooth and the bumpy, it's such a stress for them. Their serotonin level just goes plummeting. So it's a hard thing. So how else does it manifest? Because we no longer have a lot of tapioca pudding. As you can see, if they'll only take smooth yogurt. Only smooth, chunks in the bottom, and no way they'd rather starve. It isn't a preference. It's a, I can't do that, Mom. So again, we look to see if that gets easier for them. They won't eat meat. They eschew meat. The more they eschew meat, the sicker they get. The more they narrow their diet, the sicker they get, the more they narrow their diet. So sometimes they're down to even five foods. As I talk to these moms around the country, often they'll say, I'll ask them, are you thinking about doing any of the nutritional interventions for your child with autism? And they'll say, you know what? I've heard about the diets, but I can't even go there because all they'll eat are French fries and pizza and macaroni and cheese and yogurt and chicken nuggets. And he's so skinny. If I take that away, and he won't eat anything, and she's not kidding. He's not being a lax mom. That's absolutely the truth. And I said, no, there are other ways. We're going to take, when we talk about the antifungal, we're going to take a good probiotic, a good acidophilus, and we're going to open that capsule up and smuggle it in whatever little pitiful five foods he's eating. I mean, if we have, you know, spaghetti they'll eat, but no sauce. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't get it in the sauce because nothing can touch because, oh my goodness. They have to sort that out. So whatever little pitiful things they take, we can get that in. So if we can get that in, and then next week we're going to add an antifungal to that, this is always the report I get. They begin to widen their food choices. Good, more things to smuggle stuff in. Then pretty soon they'll be eating some applesauce. Great. Then we're going to open up some liver capsules to get that arachidonic acid. We're going to get meat in there. So that because they have to have it. And then we can get that in an applesauce. Oh, okay. I had one dad said, once we gave him liver, we never looked back. This is forward movement. So then pretty soon they're widening and widening and widening their diet and they're getting better. But can't you understand why so many moms, I want you to know if your moms are saying that I can't touch their diet, they're hardly eating anything already, they're right. So let's do what we can do. Let's change the chemistry. We change the chemistry, then they don't have those strange, quirky cravings only for casein and dairy. Of course, don't they crave casein and dairy? Mm-hmm. It's all dairy and all wheat. But we can't change that by taking it away. It's like trying to cure an alcoholic by hiding all the bottles of alcohol. No, we have to change the chemistry for them too. So chews on clothes. Now, this isn't just a little bit. Oh, say, oh yeah, they take a piece of hair and chew it like girls do with long hair. No, that's girl stuff or mild. But these guys, the front of their shirt is soaked because they've chewed it so much. All the, you know, the ends of their sleeves are ragged because they chew so much. They say, great, mark that down. That's one we should 100% be able to take care of because that generally responds to magnesium. But oftentimes we don't have to go down the magnesium route. We just take care of what eats magnesium? The fungus, right? Remember the Pac-Man? So if we take care of the eater, sometimes we have to go the next step and put it in, but maybe not. If we all we will know, the chewing. I'm not treating chewing. I don't care about the clothes, frankly. It is an internal stress that's causing them to react to everything. To sound, all of those things. Sound sensitivity, again, they call it hyperacusia. Many, many programs to help with sound sensitivity, and they're very good. But I found the number one thing that probably gets rid of it the fastest in the clients I see is magnesium. First getting rid of the fungus that's eating the magnesium, then put in, we're going to put in a liquid magnesium that is more balanced. So they're getting a little calcium, a little selenium, and those types of things. All things that you can get at a health food store. But those are markers. Very selective eaters. And so when I finally say, okay, very selective, that would mean probably not vegetables right now. Probably not fruit right now. Probably not meat, right? So maybe like carbs. Oh yeah, carnivores. And that's what they become. And so they keep that vicious cycle going. Sometimes foods can't touch on the plate, not always. One dad was so cute when I mentioned about foods touch on the plate. He looked at it and said, oh yeah, we don't have that problem anymore. I thought, oh, child must be getting better. He said, we just buy all divided plates. Oh yeah, yeah. Lots of kids don't like it when the sauce drips over and all that, but they'll eat it, they'll complain and eat it. That's not this. This is if they touch, that's it, done with dinner. Mm-hmm. Can't eat anything else, can't move on. So then, of course, it is life-changing for them. Now, this one, every single person checks this one. Transitions are very hard. They just have such a hard time changing. When the parent wants them to change, they have a meltdown, are in school, that's just big. We need to watch that. Essential Faviensis helps a lot with that, besides the antifungal. The touch, clothing tags bother them. And in fact, one dad, again, I just love their little comments over the years, and he said, oh yeah, and they reached over, and then had his pocket knife out and just flipped that one out. I missed that one. Everything, you buy it, take the tags out, buy it, take the tags out, because it bothers them. And again, that filter system can get better. Now this is very interesting. Socks have to have self-seen. That's like transitions. Socks is the number two thing that we see with these kids. Why? But that's a real big deal. And around the country, many children have their morning times be ruled by whether or not mom got the right sock out. And these moms will not buy socks only in one place. Because if it has it wrong, or should it just be turned in there wrong, that's it. They are internally so distracted then, it'll look like ADD. They're so distracted, they're thinking, that bothers me, oh, that's bothering me, oh, bothering me. Oh, that's bothering me, what? They can't get past it. So then we look at, oh, it can make that easier. They often don't like jeans. When a child comes in, they're wearing sweats or shorts. I wonder, I say, do they like jeans? Because jeans are what? Scratchy a little bit. So they grind their teeth. That's an absolute magnesium deficiency, even in adults, we found. They do well, again, but do we need to necessarily treat the magnesium deficiency? No, let's treat the fungus that's eating the magnesium first. And sometimes parents say, they look at the grind teeth and say, oh, I have to think about that. I said, well, if you have to think about it, it's not a big enough deal. Because you'll know it's a big deal and say, oh my gosh, yes. We hear it, you know, all the time. I can hear it down the hall. So it's a real good marker that the nervous system, just how relaxed are you when your teeth are grinding? You know, so you can see that's just way too hard for them. They dislike their hair being combed, washed, or cut. Now all boys would be, we could check that for them, couldn't we? We're not talking just a little bit of an issue. We're talking you have to strap them down. They cry the whole time and scream, and they're 12 years old. So, right.
Sit on it.
Yeah, Exactly. So then that tells you something's going on. Doctors' visits are very uncomfortable. Well, sure, lots of kids are. But this is the bigger deal. This is where when they try to put on the blood pressure cuff, oh, that's enough to send them. Or touch them with a stethoscope. Oh, my gosh, they can't stand that. That they got an email from a mom. She said, you won't believe this, but we just went to the doctor recently, and my son sat there on the table while he had the stethoscope on him and was talking about how the fish in the tank were swimming around. No screams, no two people come in to hold him down. Those are the kinds of things we're looking for if what we're doing is working. So children who have SI can be helped. Kids who have Asperger's, autism, and have SI can be helped nutritionally along with all the other really good programs that we have. This is an email I got from a mom who said, did you hear the angels sing last night? Did you hear the angels sing Wednesday night? The girl asked for a meat. Yes, she ate one bite of ham. Her first bite in at least 5 years. Now, ham wouldn't be necessarily the food, the meat group that we might choose first, but for her, it was just great. It has arachidonic acid in it. It has all the things in it that she needs. Because if we prime the pump, and this is what I had done with her, we prime the pump with liver capsules. In other words, we take liver that's organic, somebody else has made it, and it's dried. They put the powder in a capsule. If we can't get them to swallow a capsule, which often we can't, then we open it up and put it in something strong tasting like applesauce, and they take that, put it right on a spoon, and that begins to introduce it in a way that can be digested, and the body said, oh, I can right myself now. I see, I can change that. Then pretty soon they're taking hamburger and all sorts of different kinds of meats that give them arachidonic acid, iron, and B12. Remember, 40% of these children are subclinically anemic, meaning the tests don't show it, but they're pale, they're spacey, and when we get in that meat, they begin to change. Many behaviors change. I have noticed this in my practice after work, after reading in Dr. Sydney Walker's book, The Hyperactivity Hoax. He has a clinic in California. Now when I go to all the different Asperger's conferences and autism conferences and hear from the doctors, they're showing clinically how well these children do with what they call iron supplements. But I found that rather than the iron, if I can get it in a food, if I get it in the liver, they get many more benefits from it. Cod liver oil would do the same thing. That's why these guys do so well with cod liver oil. So the 10 ways to confirm that you're the parent of a child with sensory issues. The barber tools required for your child's haircut include sedatives. A scissor silencer. You break into hysterical fits of laughter when the doctor sends in only one nurse to give your child an immunization and then exclaims, it will only take a second. Or 7 different family meals need to be prepared for your family of 4. The thought of your child's upcoming dental visit gives you anxiety attacks that require medications and therapy. You would do a dance of victory after kissing your daughter, and she doesn't wipe her mouth afterwards. A statement like, our OT ordered AIT ASAP to help with SI makes perfect sense to you. You order at a restaurant for your child according to the food color and texture. You go new clothes shopping at secondhand shops. No breaking in necessary. You also start wearing your socks and underwear inside out because it really does feel more comfortable that way. And you're shocked when you can make a last minute change of plans and your child doesn't have a meltdown. So SI is very real, and parents deal with it all the time. And very often when they're in the store and you see a child having a meltdown, and you say to yourself, oh, that child just needs to be taken out and be given a spanking to them. They need to see who's boss. Well, if that was a typical child, that probably would be so. But with that atypical child, the child with strong SI tendencies, you would give that child a spanking in public and you would have to call 911 because they just scream. steam and carry on, and their reactions aren't the same as they are with typical children. So now we'll have a little more compassion, won't we, for the moms that looks like they're letting their child get away with something in the store. They know we're going to wait till they get home, because anything in the store and the manager would be called. Symptoms, let's look at the, remember we said oftentimes the symptoms of magnesium deficiency look a lot like symptoms of SI. Let's look at how many of them correlate. When you have, and even as adults, magnesium deficiency, sounds bother you. There's a story that Dr. Dean wrote in her book about magnesium deficiency, and she said two old elderly sisters were living together, and they would go shopping at Christmas time, and all the Christmas carols would be going on in the store, and they just, it just drove them crazy. They just couldn't stay there. They couldn't get their shopping done. Found out they had magnesium deficiency, began putting some magnesium in, and then all of a sudden they went back and loved all the songs because they weren't so sensitive to noise. One way of getting a magnesium deficiency taken care of that isn't even taking supplements is good old Epsom salt baths. We've known for years that if you want to calm down a child who's having a rage, or a child before they go to bed, you just put them in water and you put a half a cup of Epsom salts that you can get at the drugstore in there. And it dissolves and it makes the water very soft and it goes in their skin, because the skin is a very good transport method. And then they calm down. Some people say you can even put a cup in if you put a whole tub of water. You really can't OD and get diarrhea before you OD, because everything relaxes, even their colon. So it's something that they do a lot. In fact, one mom said she even made a paste of it, and she would put the Epsom salts in some olive oil and give her child a massage, because she said it just made him so much calmer than just the massage with the oil. So magnesium for sound sensitivity. Irritability, yeah, that could come from lots of sources, but we know that in older people, in elderly people from nursing homes and such, they get so many deficiencies because they are not, aren't able to use their food, and they're not always given the most nutritious food because much of it is packaged, because it has to be made in large quantities. So they can get so irritable, they come in, and irascible, that they're sure they're suffering from dementia. And many times they found that when they give them magnesium, they calm down. The chewing on clothes, it's some magnesium, it's under magnesium deficiency, also under SI symptoms, isn't it? Brian's teeth, one of the symptoms, Dr. Leo Gallant is in his Super Immunity for Kids, of a mild magnesium deficiency, is grinding teeth. Anxiety, people who have panic attacks, they do very well with magnesium. Constipation, well, what is milk of magnesia? It's a laxative. So if we're going to do, instead of Miralax, at least do milk of magnesia and get a little good mineral in there. But hopefully we wouldn't need that, is what we're looking for. So restless, kids that are real restless struggle with that, and panic attacks. So now we're going to say, what can we do about it? Now we know we've identified, every one of us, right, from little problem to big issue. What can we do about it? How can we restore this gut ecology? Well, there are various ways. This is one way that I works real well. First, we want to take a probiotic. So what I just say is, in the gut, first I'm going to plant. In fact, I'm just going to show this one again. What I like to do is first plant and then kill. So first I'm going to plant in the good bacteria called a probiotic, which is Acidophilus, and other strains, bifidus, those types of things. First we plant, but if we just plant once a day, like it says on the bottle, we don't get any therapeutic response. It does help. It certainly starts working in the gut, but we don't see any behavior changes. No one ever calls me about any change by once a day, even though that's what it will say on the bottle. That's a maintenance dose. Once a day we do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're going to do 3 times a day planting for 3 months. We're going to plant that good bacteria in, and that gives some competition to the yeast, so it'll begin to back off. So first, most moms do only one week at a time. They only introduce one thing at a time, like baby food. You'd introduce it. Yes, you can add other things. But if you would give, let's say if your baby's just doing solid food, and you gave him applesauce and pears and plums and bananas, you know, the same day they got a rash, what's doing it? We wouldn't know. We know to add one at a time, and then you can move on. And that's what we do with supplements for children. So we're going to do a good probiotic, a good acidophilus, 3 times a day, keep that up a week or so, and then the next week, if they're over 6, then we're going to do an antifungal. You could do prescription antifungal or natural antifungal. In this class, we talk about the natural antifungal. So an antifungal is going to kill. So first we plant, then we kill this overgrowth of yeast. We're, of course, never going to get rid of it, nor should we, because it's supposed to be a balance. So we're going to plant and then kill. And this is sort of the program that we have outlined in the Biology Behavior CD set, and came from Dr. Leo Gallen and Dr. Crook. So first we start with a probiotic supplement. What does a probiotic mean? It's the opposite of an antibiotic. Antibiotic kills all the bad bacteria, but we know it also kills the good bacteria. Probiotic puts in the bacteria that we need to digest food, and that we need to keep the yeast under control, and we need good bacteria in order to create B vitamins and vitamin K. Vitamin K, we know, is made from the good bacteria in your gut. And in fact, many babies, when they are given antibiotics as a baby, then they often need another vitamin K shot. Otherwise, they start hemorrhaging. And we have lots of bleeding issues, a lot of prothrombin issues with early antibiotic usage. And in fact, the other pieces, and some dentists know this, we're getting so many children now with caps on their teeth, because we know that the enamel, the dentin, requires vitamin K in order to be strong. First in the mother's gut, the mother in the utero, and then later on with the baby. And so when they, like many kids I have the cap teeth, and they say, yes, the dentist says they don't know why, but their enamel is so weak. And I said, yes, some dentist knows the vitamin K. Where is what's vitamin K made from? Of course we get it in green foods and such, but it's made from the bacteria in the gut. So probiotic is what, you know, I use. I use refrigerated only. There are many, many different kinds. When you go to a health food store, they'll say, yes, but ours is enterocoated, and so it has a shelf life. All I know is it's like hamburger. It's a good bacteria. They need to start refrigerated. When they make it, it needs to be refrigerated, needs to be transported, ported, refrigerated, and used refrigerated. And that's where we get our best success. We find people, when they use others, they, not that it doesn't work, we just don't see the big successes.
Do they have a shelf life?
The shelf life of a refrigerated, probably, I'm thinking 3 months. If it was in there more than 3 months, I probably maybe would get a new one. Maybe it's 6 months if it's in the refrigerator. But remember, many acidophilus supplements that are in the refrigerator, in a health food store, have been in the shelf and then put in the refrigerator. So there are, we're gonna look at 3 brands that we know for sure that are transported cold. The transporting's everything, not the millions or billions, in my opinion. And remember, there are many opinions, I'm just giving you mine. In my opinion and in my experience, it's not the billions of bacteria, it's how is it transported? Because you could start with, like the health food store operator says, this has 50 billion bacteria. Well, yes, we believe them when it was made. But then you transport it in a regular truck, and it's going downhill. And so that's sort of what we've seen. Is that still what you're seeing, Kim?
Yes.
I haven't so far haven't heard anything different, so that's what we're going to stick with, because it's no more expensive. So then, the 3 acidophilus are probiotics, because they all have acidophilus in it. Others have bifidus and rhamnosus and ruteri and various other strains in them. But the one that I found always seems to work is primidophilus by Nature's Way. We don't do chewable or liquid or powder. We don't get the changes with that. We do capsules. If you need to open the capsules and put in something, that's fine. But it needs to be capsules. There's another product that many parents on the ESD, with kids on the ESD spectrum use, and that's called Terrell, and they do a nice job of keeping that refrigerated also. There's another one you'll see called Healthy Trinity. and that has various strains in. Those are all good. There are others that we have found that are that work with adults, but we just don't see the changes in children. So that's why we get specific about brands, particularly when we're looking at probiotics. Because I remember when I was in Indiana, and after a talk, I had many parents come up and talk to me, and one mom said, do you know that we did that, the Acidophilus, three times a day for a year, and we saw no change. I said, oh my goodness, because we should see some after, even a few weeks. I said, I am so sorry, and you just stuck with something. And I said, three times a day, oh my goodness. What kind did you use? And she said, well, you know, they like those little chewable ones. They taste so good. I said, oh, yeah. Chewables so weak, you could give them a bottle a day, and it would make no difference. So you see how when you go to a health food store, they say, oh, they can't swallow. No problem. They can chew. You're not if we want to make a therapeutic difference. Then I was in Michigan giving a talk, and one mom, after many different moms saying different things, and she said about the same thing. We gave Acidophilus all year long and saw no difference. We gave the probiotics. I said, oh my goodness, did you use chewable? No, we did in the capsule, like you said, and opened it up. Oh my goodness, wonder when it, where, oh, how many times a day did you give it? Well, just once, because it said it on the bottle. Okay, one time your body says thank you, no behavior changes though. Three times a day, it's 98.6 in that gut. And you put in a nice, cold, good bacteria in there, in about 4 or 5 hours, it's gone. We're going to be very aggressive with yeast, because yeast is very aggressive in what it does. Think of Roger Staubach's wife, right? It's very aggressive, so we're aggressive. So that's why we don't necessarily follow the labels. And again, we had twins. Both had needed antibiotics for ear infections. One, the mother opened up, they were 6 months old, one mother they opened up the capsules and put it in the bottle, not and then heated it, when it was room temperature. The other one, she took powder and put it in there. You would think no difference, right? The one who had the powder got thrush. That's when we realized a lot of times when it's in powder, the powder sits on each other. It's bacteria. I think they eat each other. I think that's what happens. Whereas if you take the powder and you encapsulate it, they stay intact. So then you can open up the capsules, and then you can use that and open it. It has no taste, or not a bad taste. So those are the three that we use. We do it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or breakfast, after school, and dinner. If they're lunch, we're not going to, put it in necessarily in their lunch pack, because the drug dogs would have to come out, right? But one mom said she did this, and we're going to talk later about compliance. She took, her the child likes juice or like applesauce, and she opened up the capsules and put it in his little applesauce and took it for lunch. So there are different ways. Otherwise, after school is fine. Breakfast, after school, and dinner. We need to plan. Everybody pretty much does well with good probiotic. We all lose that because so much meat and such has antibiotics in it. So it's kind of one of those things that is just healthy all the way around. If you would ask your pediatrician about this, and it's always good to check with your pediatrician first, he would say, oh yeah, good idea.
Can you overdose?
Okay, the question is, can you overdose? One time, my daughter had some of the chewables in her refrigerator. We were all learning this. We've learned this all through experience. And Cassie was 3 years old, and we called her Casserole because she just loved to eat everything. She was such a good eater. Some kids aren't. She was. And so she decided to have the whole bottle one day because they really did taste pretty good. And she got a little diarrhea.
Okay. That's
pretty much what I found.
Okay. For adults, would you consider the same type of dosing or double?
When adults take it, it's a three times a day. You can take one capsule, you can take two capsules. It's the amount of times during the day.
Okay.
That's more important than the number is what I discovered. There is something called Primadolphus Junior that's a little small that I don't tend to get because if they're small enough to need that, I open up the capsules. You try to open up those junior capsules and your fingers get really cramped. Yes, question?
Do you need to take it with food?
The question is, do you need to take it with food? Acidophilus heals the stomach. You can take that on an empty stomach and it heals it. So then, first we plant. For some kids, especially little kids, just planting does it. Great, you don't have to go anyplace else. But if they have a lot of these symptoms and they're over age 6, generally we need to do an antifungal. Any child on the ESD spectrum, our child who has high SI, we go the second step, especially if they're over age six. And what are some natural antifungals? Grapefruit seed extract tablets by Nutribiotics. You can get them any place, like $7 or $8 a bottle. I mean, if you've ever bitten into a grapefruit seed, you know how bitter it is. Well, that bitterness is what gets rid of the fungus. And I believe virus, and like that little guy, remember he went to the bathroom and his stools had little critters, you know, exiting, got rid of his stomach ache. Grapefruit seed extract. It's pretty potent. Pretty good stuff. That's the one we take with food. So we can give the acidophilus without food, but that we would want to give with food because it could get a little bit of a tummy ache.
Is it laxative?
It doesn't appear to have laxative effects. But what you can do is you can cut the tablet in half. Now this is tricky. When a lot of parents say they don't like to swallow tablets. So they go to the health food store and they say, oh, well then have them take this grapefruit seed extract liquid. Well, the problem is the tablets are 15 drops in a tablet. We take the equivalent of 15 drops three times a day. Well, if you've ever used the liquid grapefruit seed extract, the maximum you can get in anything is 3 drops. Have you ever gotten any more than that? And you gag it down. You just can't. I mean, it's just so bitter. We can't get at it. Do you see? 3 drops isn't enough. And that's something our health food store operators often don't know. Well, then they say, well, no problem, they have it in capsules. Nutribiotic does have it in capsules, which I was excited about first, too. I thought, oh, we can open them up. But in the capsules, they have echinacea. And echinacea, as you know, we generally don't give more than 10 days because it does raise the white blood count. So then we are left with two things, either cutting the little tablets in 4 pieces and teaching them how to swallow, which you actually can. You put it in the back of their tongue, they fill their mouth up with water, and they look up at the ceiling, and gravity does its work. So you could do that. Or you could get, we carry something called paramicrocidin from Dr. Leo Galland. You need to be a health professional to get it. It's not much more expensive than just a putz to get. We have it on our website. So that's why if you can do grapefruit seed extract at a health food store, easiest way. If not, it's a tasteless grapefruit seed extract in a capsule without echinacea in it. And then you just open up the capsule and give that. So as with everything, anything I give to my child, I'm going to take myself. If I'm going to get a stomach ache, I want to know it so that I would know they are too. And that's what just about every parent who does this does that. So that's one of the antifungals. If they're little, I would start everything with half a tablet and then help them get used to it.
Yes, so first we should do the probiotic for the 3 months and then introduce the antifungal.
What I do is, and what we talk about in this CD set, and we have it set out in the schedule, and the one I do is I'll do the probiotics for a week. Then we're going to do it for 3 months.
Right.
But I do it by itself for a week. Then I add an antifungal.
How long are they on the antifungal?
We're going to do all of this for 3 months. Because after 3 months, we have nicely changed that child's chemistry. Yes,
Tara had a hard time swallowing pills, too. She was in 8th grade. And what worked for her is to take a bite of a banana, chew it up a little bit, hold it in her mouth, put the pill in there, and then swallow the whole mess down.
Uh-huh.
At one time, but it was thick enough that she didn't try to work that pill out with her tongue.
Okay, that's a very good idea. For an 8th grader, she said she took a little bite of banana, put the pill in there, put it in with the consistency and was able to swallow it. That's a good idea too. In one of the books I read recently, we're going to look at something that you would be so proud of me to do because I'm really kind of a sergeant, you know, just do it. You know, but so we tried it, but it doesn't work a lot for my SI kids, so I'm dancing around all these different ways because compliance is everything. If I can have the best ideas in the world, if I can't get it down, then one mom said, and I'm going to try this. She took some chocolate chips and melted them on the stove and then put some, and once it cooled, because if you do it hot, you know, you will kill everything. So once she could put all sorts of things in there, and then she just put little drops on a wax paper and let it get cold. And then they took that. Now, Tara would really wish you had thought of that.
No kidding.
Now, grapefruit seed, if you're going to crush up those tablets, or you could open up the capsule. You know, the capsule wouldn't have a taste in there. The tablets, I don't know. You'll have to try that one yourself first. Always try everything on yourself first. But they're just, yeah, various ways. But that's good. It's good if they can learn how to swallow. I mean, that just in general. You know, what do you have to do? You have to take a Tylenol or something like that. But if not, we find ways. We find our ways of getting them in there.
Put those on your website. Yes. Those ways.
All those different ways. And you know what? I have some books up here. And after a while, this mother did just a tremendous job in giving the most detailed ways of implementing various strategies at ISC. She doesn't have the antifungal program in here as much, but she has veins to get things in, just tremendous. It's enzymes for autism and other neurological conditions. This is the mom that had severe migraines, a headache every day for years. And so she did the same thing that her son did. It's by Karen DeFelice. Karen and DeFelice is DeFelice.
Is she in your...
Yes, she bib? Should, yeah, beyond there. But she has, anyway, she has the chocolate drops in here, and I thought, whoa, great idea, chocolate drops. So, okay, now what's the other way that we can get rid of fungus? Is we want to use an enzyme. If we can add an enzyme to it, again, we just get a little more effect from it. There are various enzymes. Candex is one of them, like Pure Essence. Mm-hmm. You can, Google, everything's available on the web now. They may even have this one in a health food store. Nofino by Houston Nutraceuticals. Those are just some real good enzymes that people find that break down the outer coating of the yeast and don't let it multiply. Could be after we've done our 3-month program that maybe we just continue with the enzymes, because they find that people who have the yeast overgrowth the most are people who cannot break down carbohydrates. What do we do then? Are we done for life? No, about Halloween time, you want to start another couple of weeks of at least the acidophilus 3 times a day. At Christmas, you might as well do it prophylactically. Just do acidophilus 3 times a day, because otherwise you're going to have breakdowns afterwards. Kids who tend to have yeast overgrowth tend to have it come back regularly. So you just watch for those high sugar times, or times when they're ornery, or have phlebitis, or are spacey, or can't remember things. That all of that say, oh, you know what? I wonder if that we don't need to do just a little antifungal. You don't have to do 3 months again, generally. The planting is extremely important. Almost every other article you're going to read, or in books you're going to read, or conferences you're going to go to, they're going to focus on the antifungal. And I can tell you that's a very important part, but you'll also read and hear from them that they have a real hard time getting rid of the fungus. My opinion, from what I have seen in my experience, is because we're not planting. The planting is the crucial part. Think about if you have a plot that comes up with weeds all the time, and you just keep pulling the weeds, what's going to happen? They're going to come back. If we vigorously plant, we're going to have competition. And so that's a big piece for anybody, is to consider the planting. Again, it's just so little known, but the biggest success that I have seen with that. So we're going to use the enzymes. And then, of course, what's feeding this guy? Sugar and carbs. If we keep feeding it just the same, we are not going to make much change. So reduce sugar intake, replace juice and cereal, because juice and cereal are all the carbs and sugar, and the brain says, thank you. We're going to look at what we're going to do instead. We can have, what would your snacks be? So instead of having Pop-Tarts and graham crackers and those kinds of things in there, maybe you could have popcorn. Popcorn with salt is very good for these guys. Put in some butter. Nuts, if you don't have little chokers in the house. Salted nuts are great to have. Beef jerky, you can even at Walmart get organic beef jerky. Fruit, introduce a lot of fruit. And cut up vegetables. And many times I've had people say, my child's such a picky eater, they would never eat cut up vegetables. But you know how you introduce it. You know, you just keep around, ranch dip if they can handle dairy. Otherwise, there's non-dairy ranch dip. Anything you put in ranch dip, tastes good. You could put shoe leather in there, I think it would taste good. So first you start with carrots. Nicey, small. And you don't tell them that they're to have that. You just keep it on the coffee table, and you and your husband, every time you go by, you dip it, and then it's gone. And you just keep doing that. And then you add celery, and you just keep modeling, and then broccoli. And you wouldn't believe how many parents tell me, I never believed they would eat broccoli. But by not making a big deal of it, and you and your husband, just every time you go by, no, that's not for them. And you just have it, and pretty soon they're swiping a little bit. Then they're having more. It's just exposure. Exposure without pressure. And we've had the most recalcitrant three-year-olds ask for one little boy, one of his first words was broccoli. I want broccoli. He said, really, you want broccoli? That was from the family. He said, they'll never eat anything green. Don't tell them to eat anything green. You just eat it all the time. Kids, what do? You say, don't say any bad words. But if you say bad words, guess what? They do, they model. You model that, and that works. We're going to talk a lot more about diet, what can we eat after a while. So this is Kathy Kress, was a gal who went to one of my workshops in California. And she said, oh, we just lost something here, didn't we? What's a good thing? We're at the end. She said that when doing the antifungal program just helped her see the child that was inside and brought that out. And I just say that because we see that so much. That's such a common comment that we get, that it just opened our child up to who they really are. So that is the antifungal program that would be the very first place that I would start. It's 7:30, so we're going to stop. All right, we're talking about restoring gut ecology using, we talked about antifungals such as probiotics 3 times a day and antifungals such as grapefruit seed extract 3 times a day, even though you could use prescriptive antifungals too. My experience has been that grapefruit seed extract is as strong as nystatin, and that is often what we hear other parents say, and the studies have shown that it's as strong as nystatin. However, I have heard at other conferences that they say these children need a medication. It's just whatever you can see. We know we're supposed to expect to see changes. And if we're not seeing changes, then we know that we need something to do something further. I got an email from a gal named Kathy Kress, and she talked about how she had been speaking out there in California and how she helped her children with the antifungal, with helping their gut, the dysbiosis. And she says the introduction of the leaky gut, treating it, revealed the children I knew were hidden inside. If I could ever just collect all the emails that I've gotten in the last 10 years since I've been teaching this, of those kinds of things, and I know you have seen those too, Kim, where say, I can't believe such a little thing would make such a big difference. And it just is, whether you have, remember the continuum, just a little bit of an unhappy child, can't go to sleep well, is more whiny than he was, you know, you expect him to be, maybe after antibiotics, maybe something else, or all the way down to really the school is saying has an attention issue, or hyperactive. So that everybody knows you don't need the school to say that, do you? Say, oh yes, even the grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles notice that. Or a child who has mild SI problems, so you're cutting all tags out, but it doesn't interfere with their life. Or bigger SI problems, so that they are having to put their hands over their ears all the time, that you can't take them into any noisy situations. They will only limit their food. They're only wear certain clothes. Your whole morning is ruled by what socks you have. Then this is also a very good place to start. What about the kids with maximum SI issues who only will eat about 12 foods because the textures bother them so badly? They have limited themselves to almost all carbs, and they won't eat meat because the textures bother them. Those kids who are real chemically upset, this makes a really good dent. Asperger's, more chemically upset, and affects their nervous system in bigger ways in autistic children, that it helps in, it hurts in the biggest way, and so this helps them to get over that. So with all of those, I always start out with antifungal therapy. because that's where I see the changes. And it prepares for, many prepares these kids for other therapies, such as, well, then do we need to do gluten-free, dairy-free? Do we need to do other things? If we still have a lot of symptoms left, then we need to go down further and do the other things we're going to talk about. If this takes care of the majority of the symptoms, then you're just fine. So it'll just be whatever area that you think that your child needs. So let's look at this restoring gut ecology even more and explore how to do that. And in fact, I got this wonderful book from a gal named Kim Schaffner. And I have, it's called The Crazy Makers, and this is just a wonderful quote from that. Feeding your child's brain. It's so simple, she says. If your child has a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep, cannot concentrate in school or at home, has low grades in school, suffers with allergies, is prone to headaches, is hyperactive or listless, is overweight, cannot go for more than 4 hours without eating, which would be a hypoglycemia, wouldn't it? Has a hard time keeping friendships, or has colds or bacterial infections more than once a year, I suggest that you remove sugar, all forms, from his or her diet for 2 weeks. Once sugar has been removed from the diet, energy levels increase, concentration levels become stronger, and self-esteem improves. Nancy Appleton from The Crazy Makers. What does she say? What is making our kids crazy? The crazy makers? Our diet. It's how we're feeding them. And so if you would just do antifungals without changing the diet, you would see changes, but you'd be always swimming upstream. If you begin to change the diet, the difference is going to be immediate and noticeable. And again, remember I told you this one mom just emailed, said, I can't believe in just a few days of being off sugar, how much nicer my daughter is, how much better she can concentrate. That's just a universal. Whether you are on the ASD spectrum or you have just other issues, everybody does better with that, and we all need reminders regularly. We were talking before about things we can't eat. Let's look at what we can eat. There are lots of things that we can eat, and kids actually adjust very well to this. So we're going to reduce sugar dramatically. The main reason I said dramatically is many times when I used to say that we need to reduce sugar, parents would say, oh yes, well, we don't have much candy around in the house anymore. Were it true that candy was our biggest problem, right? But what about the Pop-Tarts, the cereal, the juices, the waffles, the pancakes, all of those graham crackers? Doesn't matter what form, it has the same reaction, doesn't it? So how can we do that? The things we're going to avoid, as we talked about, are pancakes and waffles, even whole wheat. When we talk later on about the gluten-free, dairy-free diet, one of the dangers that I found is I would have children that are on the gluten-free diet, and the parents said, yep, they got a lot better, lots of stimming, lots of things stopped. However, what they found is they were still not focusing well. The problem was when they changed from gluten-free, they thought, okay, they can do pancakes, but they do pancakes without gluten. But it's still a carb, isn't it? And the yeast says, I love sugar and carbs. I will just grow and get more active. So it's been, and many times I've been in classes where the parents will say, yes, but we grind our own wheat. And I did too. I ground my own wheat. We made our own waffles and bread and pancakes, all of that with whole wheat. And I still didn't notice much of a change in my son's focusing ability. Why? Because that was feeding the yeast just as well. Thank you, the yeast says, I can just multiply now. So cereals, even non-sugar cereals. Again, lots of times people say, yeah, but we don't do a sugar cereal, we do a non-sugar cereal. It's a carb, isn't it? Starting the day out with a carb gets the whole day going with converting to a sugar. So we're saying, can some kids handle this and are fine? Yes, but many children can't handle it. The kids who have this dysbiosis already in their system. So cereals tend to be too many carbs other than oatmeal. You know, they feed workhorses oats and they on the farm and they work all day. Farmers know that. My dad, as he was growing up, my husband's dad, they ate a big bowl of oatmeal in the morning, kept them going all morning, but not packaged oatmeal. Because packaged oatmeal is like a Snickers candy bar. It has brown sugar in it, it has all the things in it that does not feed the brain. Do you know that it's a shame because we all know oatmeal is good, don't we? And so, but our days are hectic, our mornings are hectic, and so we say, well, we'll just get the packaged. If it were the same, wouldn't it be wonderful? Just like the difference between microwave popcorn and real popcorn. Real popcorn is a whole grain. It is good food for the body. If you look on the outside of a bottle, a jar of popcorn, I'm thinking Orville Redenbacher's or something like that, it has one word, popcorn. If you look on the outside of a microwave popcorn bag, oh, what do you have, about 15 ingredients? Where do you think your child has to store those 15 ingredients? In the liver. And the liver has to detoxify it. And one of these the things these kids have going is a poor detoxification system. In fact, the hallmark of all of these children from ADD spectrum all the way down to the autism spectrum have a poor or dysfunctioning detoxification system. That's why all metals, everything gets to be higher in their system. What is the main detoxifying organ? The liver. And so they found, in fact, we're going to look at how so many of the pathways are designed to help the liver to detoxify. Just taking that toxic load out. So also anything you can do is a plus. Juices, you know, many people say, yes, but I only use 100% natural juice. But if you would sit down and eat 5 apples, your blood sugar would raise, the yeast would be excited, wouldn't it, and would overgrow. You wouldn't do that. But if you drink the juices, that's the equivalent of the 5 apples. It's just too concentrated a sugar. Now let them eat the apple and drink water, because the fiber in there will take care of it. So fruit is wonderful. Fruit juices, other than we keep them around if we need to use them as a carrier for supplements. Remember, we'll even use chocolate chips if we have to for a carrier for supplements. So that's a different story, but in reality, big difference. There's a whole book written by a dentist, and he said, now, he couldn't get rid of his chronic yeast overgrowth and all the symptoms that came with it until he got rid of his morning glass of orange juice. Now, not that orange juice is bad, it's a good thing, but not if your child has the symptoms of yeast overgrowth or symptoms of an upset nervous system, then it isn't. Muffins, those kinds of things, so we're going to avoid muffins, pop. Now, that doesn't mean never, but if you don't have pop at home, do you see how that reduces the chances of them having too much of it? One time I was speaking at a group as many years ago, and a mother of a four-year-old said, how do you do that? All my child will eat in the morning, it's wild, she said, four-year-old, wonderful little boy, but hyperactive. All he'll eat is donuts. And I said, oh, and he can drive. I said, oh, well, no, he can't drive. In other words, how is he getting the donuts? Someone's driving to the store and getting them for him and bringing it back. So of course the control is in our hands, we just don't know it. And this is the issue, many times we try to keep the food, the offending food in the house and just have a little bit of it, our control when we have it. You know how that works, don't you? They can find anything. So it's just, this really gets to be a whole family kind of change. And it works, everybody feels better. And sometimes if the husband, I'll have husbands say, well, you know, I need my pop. And I said, you know, the nice thing is you have a garage, you have a car, and you can go to work. We're not saying you don't have to have, you can't have pop. We're not saying that. Because this, you know, maybe you're not in need of that.